Best worst case scenario podcast.
I wrote down a short thing about her life, who she was, and what she got up to before she started eating bugs
and licking up her urine.
Yeah. Man, that's like such a weird way to get into this.
Tastes like apple juice.
Her pee? Are we still talking about Annalise Michelle's pee? Yes. Who was that lady?
What lady?
Annalise Michelle. She was a German, I think. A German girl. Why do I sound like... I'm like Christoph Waltz giving like a fucking...
She was a girl. He was a Nazi.
She was German.
She was.
Bavaria, Germany. Which, what separates Bavarian Germans? Is it they wear lederhosen?
They have more ballen festivals, I think.
They drink more beer and wear long socks,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And have demons.
And have demons.
That possess you. It's southern Germany, I think, pretty much. Bavaria.
It makes sense. It's where the Grinch lives. It's where... Satan lives.
Apparently.
This is the story of Annalise Michelle, the woman who might have been possessed by demons. Demons that told her terrible things in her head. Things about herself and people around her, and she would even see demons in the faces of people she loved. So, Dana, what do you actually know about this Annalise lady? Who was she? What'd she do?
She was this German chick, born in 1959, I think, in Germany. And she seemed to be kind of like a normal girl in a strong Catholic family, right? A strict upbringing. She was described by her classmates as like this sort of withdrawn... girl that
really
yeah with
even
John.
Even early in life, because I knew like once these things started to happen to her and her life transformed, you'd expect that. But are you saying that even before, as a child, she had kind of like withdrawn symptoms of not really wanting to be around people as much?
I think that's what I read. Yeah.
Wow.
But maybe I'm fucking it up and saying no. Exactly what you just said.
No, that sounds like it makes sense.
I think this is, I'm talking about like after 16 here.
Right. And you know why I'm confused is because I watched the movie and the movie told me a lot of things and I was like,
what a tough.
That must be the true story, that she was a very outgoing and like no one would have predicted she would be someone that would get possessed, because she was religious, she was upbeat, she was like involved with like all of her community shenanigans. And this is why I'm saying,
yeah, she was helping burn books and no, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
because she was a Nazi.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't a Nazi.
Curricular studies.
But she might have been possessed by one. Yeah,
she was. She was an exemplary student, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
though.
But that's what the movie told me, because I watched the movie. But before we like kind of
watch
before
movie.
I tell you more about that movie, because
this isn't,
because I'm sure you want to know,
what languages do you know?
what age was she when she first got these attacks? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
But
I don't know either, but she was in high school.
She had her first temporal lobe epilepsy at age 16.
Okay, so you fucking know. Because when her quote-unquote epilepsy started, that, to some people, marks the beginning of when at least sinister forces might have like entered Annalise's life.
Yeah, it seems to be like it started around the same time she was having seizures. Or
right.
Started having seizures.
Which, coincidentally, is the reason why people point to a story like Annalise Michelle, and they say that, obviously, this is just a simple case of hallucinations and
it's pretty,
psychosis.
It's very common with epileptic
right.
people. They can see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, hallucinations or mm-hmm. demons.
Because your brain is like short-circuiting in a way, correct?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, I don't understand it super well, but all I know is that when people have them, their bodies can have some crazy stuff. Actually, some of the symptoms are loss of consciousness, stiffening of the body, rhythmic jerking movements of the arms, legs, and head, foaming at the mouth, and biting one's tongue. And all of those things, if you think about them, they could look like someone possessed.
Yeah, they're pretty similar. That's why I think I read... God, I'm starting to sound so weird.
I think that's why... Is that what you're saying? Come on, man. Come on, man. Save it.
What was I talking
about? What were you talking about? I think that's why what?
What was I talking about?
I think you're talking about her seizures and what seizures do. And oh, how seizure symptoms can look like possession. And you're like, yeah.
Hold on. Just give me a minute.
We're gonna get through this.
I think that's why like 90% of exorcisms that have happened have been deemed as fake, as in mental health or mm-hmm. just some scientific explanation.
Because of some brain imbalances or like yeah. sort of condition like that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why a lot of people look at this and they're like, yeah, she wasn't possessed, but there's actually a lot of other points of view that come to this specific case that might make you think twice about just dismissing it. Because just to put it in perspective, so you said she was born in 59.
She was born on September 21st, 1952.
Okay, 52, right?
Yeah.
So I think the exorcism movie, the one that like famously kind of like made everyone
the
aware.
The
Exorcist.
1973.
Yeah, that came out after she experienced these things. And I don't think
it didn't. Well,
it came out during.
It came out during. Yeah, it came out in 1973 in the U.S.
Which means that she had already started to exhibit those symptoms, right?
Yeah, I think it started in 70 for her. But the Germany edition release of that movie was September 1974, and mm-hmm. I think the brunt of the exorcisms was between 1975 and 1976. That was when all the exorcisms happened, pretty much.
What? So after that movie,
yeah, but it was still during it. So it was still
they just ramped it up after. They're like, oh shit!
But it was still in the stratosphere, the Exorcist, while these priests are doing exorcisms on her. So I wonder if she saw the movie or they saw the movie and they're like, that'd be cool to do.
Yeah. All I know is her parents were asked like if they watched the movie because they were still alive, I think, when the movie came out.
Of course they were, because so was Annalise.
No, she wasn't.
Are you talking about the exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I thought you were talking about that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm switching movies. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. But pretty much what I'm trying to say is that the movies that came out during this time really shaped people's minds about like what exorcism was. And I feel like a lot of things have been made since then based off like those stories, you know?
They're kind of all based on each other.
True.
Knockoffs of True. Knockoffs of knockoffs.
Right, because I mean, possession is something that the Bible talks about. So that goes back, 2,000 years at least? I think yeah. way more.
How many knockoffs do you think it takes until you have an original movie?
You mean until you do a full like creative circle and...
Your own.
And then you're on your own again? Your own movie. Man, a lot. Too many for our lifetime.
Okay.
But
I guess Bollywood knows.
True. Anyways, what started to happen? So you said 52 she was born.
Yeah.
16.
The religious upbringing, attended mass twice weekly. Her mother had wanted her to become a nun, before the war and instilled a strong sense of faith and guilt in her children.
Yeah. So very you're a terrible person and you're a sinner and like you are the worst.
Yeah.
And a child having you, that growing up.
You're a demon. Demon girl.
Yeah. Bad. Demon girl. Bad girl. That would suck. That would suck. It all began in 1968 in Klingenberg, a small town in Bavaria, Germany. Annelies Michel was only 17 when she began to have mysterious convulsions. A psychiatrist from the clinic of Wurzburg diagnosed her with grand mal epilepsy, which is a generalized seizure that affects the entire brain. Not long after the seizure started, Annelies, who was in high school, began to experience quote-unquote devilish hallucinations while praying. She reported voices telling her she was damned. By 1973, so 5 years from the onset of these happenings, the authorities determined that Annelies was suffering from depression and heavily considering suicide. Her parents, who were religious, decided in 1975 to cease with visits to psychiatrists and instead turned to exorcisms as the sole method of trying to heal Annelies.
She started seeing like devil or demon faces before the priests or doctors even started dealing with her. I think it was from the seizures, but I think she got worse like over time. However, like the thing I'm kind of weirded out about is like skeptical of is that it sounds like she was only
me why you don't believe.
Yeah, this bitch. She overacted herself to death.
Why do you think she might have faked it?
Not faked it, but she only seemed to be possessed or act weird anytime they did an exorcism, but normally between exorcisms she was fine.
Are you serious?
That's what I read. Okay. Yes. That's weird.
But that also makes sense because if this was actually a possession and you have a foreign spirit invading a person, likely a demon, let's just say for argument's sake, then it would make sense that as soon as those priests come with their rites and their religious stuff,
their shotguns,
that
holy water,
right, that the demons would probably show themselves, kind of like expelling like a toxin, you know,
Expelliarmus.
But that didn't actually do anything, so it wasn't like that, because how many exorcism sessions did they actually do for this poor girl?
Yes.
I think it's in the hundreds, right?
67.
Okay. I wouldn't wait.
But in the span of like under a year, I think.
67?
Yeah, which was about 2 weekly.
Damn.
And 3 to 4 hours each. So they wore her out.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
Like, I'd probably be mentally fucked up too and screaming random shit.
Okay, but you bring up an interesting point because
priests were attacking me twice a week.
You bring up an interesting point though, because while these movies do depict these exorcism sessions as like these crazy dramatic wind blowing people fucking like getting thrown out windows like thing, yeah. Exorcisms
scary
in words. Real life, they're really boring from what I hear, and generally like nothing happens, and it's just like these priests like reading these like long ass chapters of the Roman ritual, which is like the Catholic what is that word? Magnus operandum or whatever. Have you ever heard that?
That Harry Potter spell.
No. It's a fucking insane, but I think I'm butchering it.
Magnus
Opus Amarandum? No, Opus God damn it.
Wasn't it Maximus Magnum?
No, I think no, dude, we sound so stupid. I can't believe we don't know.
Wasn't it
Modus operandi?
Was it double? Operandi? Was it double Durex?
Modus operandi. Okay, I think we're just was saying it bullshit.
The though. Trojan horse? No. I'm saying condom names.
Okay, you are. Anyways.
God damn it.
It was like their spell book. You know.
What was their spell book?
the Roman ritual.
Okay, yeah. And yeah. They cast that shit up.
Right, but it was super boring sessions, so I doubt.
Wow, have you watched any?
No, I've just heard that a lot of them are pretty boring.
Wow.
Maybe these weren't.
Yeah, you get the overachievers now and then for method acting.
You mean some priests that just go a little bit too ham with the holy water?
No, I'm talking about the possessed people.
Bring out the holy super soaker.
I'm just saying, some of them might be actors because they like the attention.
You think there's a possibility that this chick did any of this for attention?
Not Annalise Michel.
Yeah, because of the toll it had on her?
I don't know. I feel mixed about it. Like, if you want to talk about if she was possessed or if it was just mental health. It might have been a bit of both, I feel like.
Because I think she really believed, at least, she was possessed. Like, I'm not saying she wasn't mentally ill, but I think she believed that it was demons that were causing her to experience these horrific things and, like, just making her life an absolute hell to be alive.
Yeah, well, so yeah, like, family pressures or religious pressures might have cracked her, which... then that's where the demons or possession happens. But there were some weird things like the inability to enter a church or look at a crucifix. That's kind of strange. People noticed that right away.
Yeah.
That was even before she was seen by a priest. I think her classmates or someone noticed it.
What I heard too, is that she was on a religious pilgrimage.
Yeah.
And the lady she was with, who was older, noticed, like you said, that she couldn't walk past a certain image of Jesus.
She wouldn't look at it. She couldn't look at an image of Jesus.
Yeah, and that to me is weird because that doesn't seem like a dramatic, like, rolling on the floor, speaking in Latin sort of thing. That's something subtle that someone like her, I think, tried to hide.
That was a couple years before the big crescendo.
Right, so and the lady also said that she smelled hellishly bad.
Yeah, like, I think I read it smelled like she shat her pants, like, a couple days earlier, is the way she smelled to some people.
Fuck.
Like, burnt. No, it was burnt shit. That burnt? Was the smell.
Burnt yeah. shit?
It burnt shit.
Jeez.
Which is really weird.
That's, like, how way worse than just shit, man. If it's burnt and someone cooked that up.
That's Taco Bell.
Oh, my God.
Taco Bell.
God damn.
Gives you burnt shit.
Honestly, like,
it's so spicy.
Just imagine that, people. If you want. If you don't want to, that's okay, too.
Yeah. So, she wasn't into personal hygiene.
No.
I think she's also known to maybe destroy some religious objects in her home and possibly violent reactions to holy water.
And, like it would burn her or something?
Yeah, and she talked about, I think, to a few people that she was controlled by dark forces, and people just shrugged.
They're like, sure, Annalise, whatever you say.
Whatever, you crazy religious.
This chick's weird, man.
Catholic chick.
Do you know this girl?
She's Catholic girl.
Dude, that's rough. Smelling like that. And no rough boyfriends. For the people around you who have to smell that too. And besides the smell, though, and the images, not being able to walk or look at certain images... And then also, like, the aversion to holy water. Was there any other symptoms, initially at least, that people were like, no, she's possessed?
I don't know. Aside from her family, I think she was hearing voices telling her that she was damned, which is kind of strange to hear, even with, I don't know, seizures. She was seeing devilish or grimacing faces. And then I think at one point she felt like this heavy pressure on her chest while she was trying to sleep.
Holy shit, dude, that was in the movie.
The heavy pressure?
Yeah. So
the exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yeah, so there's a scene in the movie where the main actress, the one who gets possessed, is laying.
Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah, she's laying down in bed at night, and she feels, or she wakes up. It's 3 a.m., which I got something to tell you about that later. Remind me.
Okay.
So she's laying in bed, and she wakes up at 3 a.m., and then she, like, hears this noise, and, like, something jumps up on her bed, and you can see, like, the pressure of where it's standing.
Does it look like an invisible cat?
Like something huge.
Big?
Huge.
On her bed?
On her bed, because it like sinks in her entire bed almost.
Like a person.
Like a person standing over her. And then it walks up next to her, and then it pushes her down, and she can't breathe, and she's just choking. And it's like, it's actually pretty terrifying. Like, her name, what's her name again?
Jennifer Carpenter.
Jennifer Carpenter. Like, she actually, she acted really
good.
Well in this movie. And like, I was super surprised, because I've never like seen her roles and been like, she's a really good actress. But in this movie, like the type of crazy that she had to be to portray someone that's fucking possessed, like, you try to do that, man. Like, that's some tough shit to do, you know?
Yeah, I need to see it then, huh?
It's pretty good. Like, she...
Well,
she,
it's got like a 6.7.
She fucking goes all in. Like... It's, like, there's none of her in those eyes. When you're watching it, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the best rated exorcism movies.
There's like this...
6.7 out of 10. Most exorcism movies are under 5 or 4.
Well, you know why? It's because the main story doesn't even follow her. The main story of the whole movie is after her death and them trying to get the priest in prison. So
that's weird.
So everything is like about flashbacks and
to her.
And the main character is like the lawyer who's defending the priest, which they lost in real life because of all of this stuff, Annalise died.
Yeah. Categorized as homicide.
Right. And so
they fucking killed her.
Her parents and the two priests who were doing the exorcism, because there was two. All four of them got, like, what was it, a year for homicide?
It was going to be, I think, 6 months to a year in prison, but then they got 3 years probation or something. And then I did hear from a couple sources that the parents didn't get charged for anything because they suffered enough.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Like,
suffered enough.
Like, your daughter's dead, and now you get to go to prison.
Charge them for murdering her?
Yeah.
When they were just trying to help her. Yeah, only with priests. And at some point, you got to go to a hospital.
Right.
You know, when you're 100 pounds underweight or something.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense. And there's a lot of things about the exorcisms that I think were handled really badly. Like you're saying, like, malnutrition. Like, she literally wouldn't eat. Not for lack of trying, but she wouldn't eat. And
she didn't want to. She was atoning for the sins of the youth and priests or something.
That's actually a really good point. Is something that I read was that she genuinely believed she was being possessed to atone for the sins of like wayward priests and stuff.
And youth, yeah.
And she believed it. So she kind of felt like her torment was like deserved, which fits in what you're saying about her parents telling her she's a piece of shit or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't know if they did. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah, maybe they were nice.
Maybe.
Strict Catholics.
And then that's just all the more disturbing, because it's like, how did this nice young girl who really nothing was
happened
wrong with her. Yeah. She had a normal life.
I know. That's why you question, like, was there some possession involved? You know, maybe she did start with mental health and then the possession happened while her mind was like fragmented.
Yeah. Like it opened the gate.
Yeah. But I'm torn, torn on the subject.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll let that simmer for a bit. The other thing I was going to ask you was, you were saying that some people had some weird experiences before we started recording, from the movie.
Yeah. Well, I thought of that because your phone randomly turned off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did. Right before, actually, we started recording this, my phone was playing music. And I just, like, I just charged it a little bit ago. And it was at full. And it just died suddenly. And I was talking about waking up at 3 a.m. when it happened, I think.
Yeah. A little creepy.
I was about to tell you a creepy experience I had.
And then his phone.
The other night. Because this movie, in the movie, there's this scene where she wakes up at 3 a.m., several scenes. And she always looks at the clock and it's 3 a.m. And the priest explains in the movie that 3 a.m. is the witching hour and that it's the inversion of 3 p.m., which is supposed to be when Christ died, was 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So it's the miracle hour.
And he was 33 years old.
Right. So the inversion of that is 3 a.m., and that's why a lot of demonic activity, so-called stuff, happens.
So did you wake up randomly at 3 a.m. after that movie?
I did.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you look at the clock?
Yeah, it was like 2:45, and I was like, fuck, fuck, fuck. I was like, fall asleep, you know, because I get kind of spooked sometimes after watching movies, especially when it's like, yeah, because I mean, I consider myself like a believer in a lot of things. Like I'm always kind of that person that entertains the possibility, and I'm like, you know, I don't know for sure if these things exist, and if they did, like, I wouldn't be that surprised, you know? And so
what you're watching is real.
Yeah. Like, this could happen to me, man. And that's why when I wake up at 3 a.m., it's kind of creepy because I'm like, oh shit, this movie was just saying that 3 a.m. is the bad hour. Like, and then
he's about to get pile-drived.
Yeah. But the weird thing is that the reason I woke up is because
big fat ghost.
With his balls on my face, man. Suffocating. Really bad.
Teabag you to death. God, nobody will know.
Be terrible. No, but the reason I woke up is because I had a dream that a bear was trying to eat me.
He needs his bear necessities.
He
and meets one of them.
Did, man. I don't know what I did, but he was really
just be tasty.
Really gunning for me, and that's how I woke up. At 2:45, so.
Oh, so you felt like Leonardo DiCaprio when you woke up.
Yeah.
From Revenant.
Pretty much. I was shitting my pants. I was like, I'm about to die. There's no way I'm getting away from this bear. It's going to eat me from the ass up is what I literally thought, man.
That's interesting. You had such a violent dream close to 3 a.m.
It is.
Isn't it?
I think it means something.
It does. The demon was coming for your ass.
Okay, but in all seriousness, let's get back
to
this.
Your asshole.
What happened to those people from the movie?
Yeah, that was a long tangent. The movie, your phone turned off randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Right before we started recording.
Yeah.
And then that reminded me that some of the cast from The Exorcism of Emily Rose experienced some weird stuff shortly after filming, even though they were offset. Like, Jennifer Carpenter's radio, I think, turned off and on randomly a couple times.
What? And then shut the fuck up.
And then
man.
Another actress.
I'm about to leave this podcast, man.
Another actress, I think an older lady in the show, said that her TV randomly turned on, which, I don't know, that could be anything.
Yeah, she could just not know how technology works.
She could
have
sat on the remote.
Yeah, it happens. You know?
Her dog could have jumped up.
Yeah, you know? Whatever, man.
But it is kind of strange that they had weird experiences surrounding this girl, Annalise Michelle. Because we have to remember that The Exorcism of Emily Rose is based on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget that. Because the names are different.
Right. Yeah.
They should have called it The Exorcism of Annalise, but it's probably copyrighted or something.
Well, maybe it's just wanting to protect, like, her family and stuff, which it didn't really do, but it is interesting. And I was going to ask you, did you happen to listen to the recordings?
I listened to some of them.
And what do you think? So they did recordings of The Exorcism.
I think there's over an hour and a half of old tapes of the priest, because the priest recorded a lot of their exorcism sessions with her while she was talking in German. But there's some YouTube videos out there and other sites where you can listen to clips of it, and they translate it.
Wow. Can you hear her actually be talking. Possessed?
Yeah, you can hear her. She sounds pretty rough. Like, I think a 23, 22-year-old girl could make those noises, but it just sounds really harsh on her vocal cords, and I don't know.
Does it sound like as deep as you think a 17-year-old could make their voice?
I think she could go that low, in my opinion, but like the girl from the Conjuring case, you know, that one that mm-hmm. had the deep voice with the guy in the armchair. Like, I think she went way deeper than her age compared to Annalise, in my opinion.
That's terrifying.
But at the same time, like, the stuff Annalise was saying was pretty fucked up. And I guess she channeled like 6 different demons or entities, including Lucifer, Cain, and Hitler, which I don't know if he deserves to be a demon. And I think the other one was a fallen priest, pretty much, named Fleischio Man.
Fuck. That's the worst, man. That's
she
terrible.
Apparently knew a bunch of details about this guy that wasn't very public. But the priest, one of the priests that was exercising her, might have been
exercising her. Just a vegetator on a treadmill. Keep running, like throwing holy water at her. Go, go. No. Shed that demon. You shed that fucking demon. I want to see your all. That's just terrible. That's terrible.
Chasing her with a bottle of holy water.
Gosh.
Totally derailed.
Anyways,
I don't even know where I
Sorry.
Was. Where am I? It knocked me unconscious.
I knocked you down. So, anyways. I have no idea.
We're talking about Fellatio, man.
Yeah, so she knew things about him, and the priest would double check and be like, oh, you were right. Or what? How did the priest know this guy?
One of the priests knew, like, a lot of may have known him in the past or knew a bunch of details through somebody else, but she shouldn't have known these things, is what one of the priests said, because there was 2 priests, right, that worked on her.
Well, just to play devil's advocate, because we're kind of, like, taking turns.
One of the priests was named Ernstalt.
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 Yeah. Like, just to play devil's advocate, it seems like she could have just picked up a book on that Deepak guy. Whatever the fuck his name is.
Ernol?
No. The guy that was possessing her, she said.
What guy?
God damn it. The guy she knew about. My misunderstanding. Because if I am, it's because I'm high.
Yeah, she was possessed by a guy. A priest. A fallen priest.
Okay. So it was a priest. That's why that guy knew a bunch about
him. Or I wouldn't say possessed by him, but the thing she said was about him.
A fallen priest sounds like it actually like the most terrifying of things.
Well, that's my term. That's trademarked now.
I'll give you $1
fallen
when I got
priest
one.
Sounds pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it does. Sounds fallen like a, priest sounds like a cool class and like
I
a
was
fucking
say,
RPG.
A cool costume at Spirit Halloween. Fallen priest, $49.99. Adult.
Anyways,
so Father Alt petitioned the local bishop, this guy named Joseph Stengel.
that's my favorite name in the entire story.
You know his tagline that he would say?
What?
Joseph Stengel has got the dangle.
Has got the dangle.
Has got the dangle, man.
God. Oh my god. Okay, this is, let's like talk about though, like the story too, not just the Stengel guy.
Let's what talk else? About it from another angle. He dangled a cross in her face. No, Joseph Stengel, he was there to give permission. He was there to give permission for the exorcisms. Joseph Stengel.
He doesn't seem like someone who would get permission
for
anything.
He gave permission to Father Alt, the Ernst Alt. Oh. Gave him permission. Yeah. The local bishop gave.
Because, you know why?
him permission to perform the exorcism because he needs that permission. They can't just have the priest do it. He needed to get permission from Dangle. I mean, Joseph
Stengel. God damn it. Anyways, like, this is another reason why, if you were to argue that, hey, this case with Annalise Michel, it actually holds up. One of the things you could point to is the fact that in order for them to approve an exorcism, the Catholic Church runs these tests, and they usually bring in psychologists. They usually also bring in a
mime,
psychiatrist, and biologist. I don't know. They bring in two doctors, right?
Well, okay.
And they have those. So pretty much they had to get all of this stuff done first to be like, hey, this person,
the priest,
no, like, yeah, the priest, you're right.
Okay, the priest, they have to do a bunch of shit to have an exorcism
that they then bring to the bishop, and they have to bring them the super detailed report in their petition to get an exorcism.
Okay.
And then usually the archbishop will choose someone random that they know of. So it's kind of weird that in this case,
like a neighbor they don't like?
No, just someone to do the exorcism. They'll usually like handpick someone, and they just so happen to choose that family's parish priest.
That's so random.
So, well, I think they must have been like, he's a good guy to do it because he knows them really well. But you wonder if maybe he was the wrong guy for the job.
Hmm. Why would he be wrong?
Because he didn't work. I don't know.
Which guy?
One of the priests.
Was it,
Don't you dare say Stengel one more fucking time. I swear to God, man.
Joseph Stengel.
If you fucking say that name again,
he gave him permission.
I'm gonna kill you.
Stengel gave him permission to perform it.
God damn it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Ernst Alt here.
Yeah. Was he the one? Either him or the other one. You're right. He gave him permission.
Yeah. So in September 1975 is when Bishop Stengel granted permission for the exorcism in secret.
In secret.
The first one, at least.
He said just one, and they're like, 62?
What, you said 65, 66?
67?
Can I get a 67?
I thought it was 67.
I say.
67 exorcisms.
It was.
That's a lot.
But he wanted it to be in secret, you know?
In secret. Because he didn't want the church to get made to look silly.
Yeah.
So, like, when this is the other thing I was going to say, is that Catholic priests or the bishops, they always approve stuff that they think is going to either make them look good or, like, at least not look bad.
Hmm.
So, like, if a really high-profile person was, like, possessed, I don't think they would. Maybe they would, but I really doubt they would send someone. They'd be like, nah, this is too public of a thing. We don't want the public to know that we can fail. You know, because that's what Annalise's death kind of was, is it was like a huge failing of the Catholic Church to help this girl.
And failing of the parents, I would say.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't charged.
And even some people might like look at that and be like, that's a failure of God.
But I think this case right here helped push like medical over religion when it came to health.
Mm-hmm.
Like made some laws or some repercussions for
from people. This specific case.
So people couldn't be starved to death. Even though it has happened since then a couple times, which we could talk about later. But yeah, those 67 exorcisms happened between September 24th, 1975 and July 1st, 1976. So do that math.
I can't. Too high for that math, man. Explain it.
Roughly 10 months. Closer to 9 to 10 months is when they did 67 exorcisms, 1 to 2 times per week, lasting up to 4 hours
right.
each.
Yeah, you said this, so.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No way.
Yeah.
I think I said this off air, right?
No, I don't know.
I wouldn't have said that off air. Why would I?
I don't know. But it's good to know twice.
No.
It really gets the message in deeper. You know? Don't you fucking forget
Did
it,
guys. Tell you how many exorcisms? Yeah.
There's going to be a test at the end of this fucking podcast, and if you fail, you can't come back and listen to any more of our shit.
What rhymes with jangle?
One thing I wanted to ask you, Dana, is... what would you do if I or you were possessed?
Well, what are the symptoms? What are you doing? Crawling on the walls or just like cussing at me?
Well, smelling like burnt shit could be one of them.
Well, I would help you into the bathtub. Close the door.
I'd fucking Febreze the shit out of you. Like I'd like kick you out into like a storm. When it's pouring rain and just not let you back inside.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I would just throw you in front of a fire hydrant and hose you down.
Yeah. But what would you do about the goat or the demon, though?
What do you mean do about it?
Because I don't think a fire hose would do much for a demon.
Well, that's why you get tied up to a chair. And left there until the Pope, until the priest shows up. Or the police. I personally am calling the police, not the priest, to come help me. All I gotta say is, like, yeah. There's an intruder in my house. I knocked him out and tied him up in that chair. And they'll take you away. They don't need to know your family.
No, they would find out who I am. They wouldn't just fucking lock me up because you said so.
Okay.
But,
well, I was just telling me you're going crazy in my house.
But I honestly don't appreciate your... because your plan is to not help me at all. Your plan is to get me fucking arrested, so I'm arrested and in prison. Or, I mean, I'm possessed and arrested. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
That's terrible, man.
Yeah, it is. But, see, I don't want to die. So.
I know, but, like...
but if I had to get help, I don't know. I guess I would... look in the yellow pages and see if there's any nearby priests.
God, demons? God, demons. We can help with that.
Yeah, Joseph Stengel.
Joseph Stengel at your service.
Ready to mangle
those
demons.
I don't let all my customers dangle.
You know the jangle.
Call 1-800. Stengel. You're the jangle. Call that Stengel.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
God damn it. Why are we so good at like coming up with business ideas, man? If anyone just listened to these episodes and like heard our business ideas, they'd be fucking...
it's Shark Tank every rich. Day.
Every day is Shark Tank.
But yeah, like I don't know if you got possessed suddenly right there on the couch chair thing that is. I'd probably try to choke you out first, make sure you passed out, and then see what I can do.
See, I don't think I'd even fight. Because you got that demon strength, and I wouldn't want to go up against that.
Yeah, that would be scary. So you would have to lock me in a room or the house.
Preferably outside, yeah. Here I am saying, like, you would get me arrested. I'm like, yeah, Dan, I'd fucking lock you outside.
In the rain, yeah. Like I'm a dog.
So you can get not smelling like
okay,
burnt
but what
doo-doo.
Happens when I disappear when you leave the room to take a piss and I'm gone outside the yard? Nowhere to be seen. Maybe I'm on the roof waiting for you to fall asleep.
Oh my god. No, that sounds scary too, but I'd prefer to worry about that than you like fucking being in here when I'm in here.
But at least you have eyes on me.
No, I don't want any eyes on you. I think I'd want you out of my sight. I'd be like, that'd be so scary because knowing someone, like say you grow up with someone your whole life, because this girl, Annalise Michelle, like to her family, she just, like, was her, and then one day she became someone else.
Yeah. If you look up her name on Google, her face, like, she's got a good smile. She looks like a cool, nice person.
Really?
And her standard photo, yeah.
Everyone, Google Annalise Michelle, A-N-N-E-L-I-S-E.
L-I-E-S-E.
You right.
Michelle, yeah. Yeah, she's got a nice photo.
She looks a little possessed to me.
But she's smiling.
Yeah.
She looks happy. And then...
she does.
If you type in Annalise Michelle after
I
photo...
I know. It looks terrifying.
She's really changed. Her face is deteriorated.
That's so sad.
One of the photos, she's like got a bruised face, and her mom or someone is holding her up.
Mm-hmm. I see it.
But she looks emaciated. They're just not feeding her or anything, but that's what she's requesting. So I think in the trials, like part of the defense was saying that she was a grown adult and she refused medical attention as an adult. Wow. So it's not their fault she died, you know, because she didn't want to go to the hospital. She didn't want doctor checkups. She didn't want any help.
Right. Because she thought it was about God and her.
Right. But also, I think that's just what she said.
Yeah. But do you want to hear something crazy about it that might be in the movie only? So she said after she started getting possessed that she thought she was paying penance for lost souls, right?
Hmm.
In the movie, there was a scene where she leaves her body and she goes and she talks to Mother Mary and she's like, hey, like, can this stop? And Mary's like, the demons are here to stay. She's like, but you can come with me and leave your body, or you can stay. And if you stay, a lot of people will come to God through your story. And she says she wants to stay.
They told Annalise this?
Yeah.
In the movie.
Right, before she died. So I think what the director was kind of saying was like, if there's a chance she's right and she was paying penance for these lost souls, then it was probably by choice and she could have left earlier, kind of thing.
Hmm.
Or at it's least like,
either way,
it's a possibility that she was there by choice or something.
Maybe she was possessed by God?
No, but that it was allowed to happen because of God. I don't know.
So God stepped in. I honestly, let me take over.
Now that
this
I'm
exorcism.
Hearing it, it doesn't sound like a great.
Let me come.
It doesn't
in here
sound like a great deal.
And just steal the thunder
might
from
be
you,
the worst
demons.
Deal. Yeah.
You know what? This girl isn't just dying; she's dying for everyone.
Yeah. But let's talk more about like what actually happened. So,
well, she had some broken ass knees. Did you read about that?
Yeah.
Some broken ass knees, man. From the genuflection. from the genuflection.
Why are you making up words, man?
It's the genuflections.
No, I did read about that.
The genuflections is kneeling on one knee for holy.
Unless you do a double genuflection, which sounds fucking crazy.
Which is what she did.
A double genuflection?
She did
get out of town.
She did double genuflections all day, every day, holy until fuck. Both her knees were shattered.
Can't even do a triple.
She did too many genuflections.
Yeah. Her cartilage in her knees was like...
Her knees were shattered.
Yeah.
And that's probably also partly from
falling onto
from falling
her knees,
on her
which
knees
is a genuflection.
Repeatedly. But I think she was doing it in like a satanic sort of way.
Doing what?
Kneeling down to God. Or kneeling down to Satan in a way. Because she was doing those genuflections possessed.
She was?
Yeah. She had broken knees from the genuflections.
I know, but they were helping her do them. They wanted her to do them.
I know, but I think she was gangbanged by two priests, man, for 10 months. While her parents fucking cucked in the corner.
Jesus, dude.
This is pretty much what happened.
No, there's no way that happened.
If I put it bluntly, she was fucking tortured by two priests in front of her parents for 10 months, and they did nothing about it until she died.
It does sound bad when you put it like that. Yeah.
Because they put all their faith into the exorcism.
Okay, let's just say for argument's sake that she really was possessed. Do you think then, if that was the case, then what they did, their actions are actually not so bad?
No. I still think the same thing. I still think the same thing. I think they got too carried away. I think they should have brought her into a hospital when she hit 100 pounds. Not 66 or 68 pounds. Like, she was just skin and bones when she died. Because they just didn't feed her because she didn't want to be fed. They just listened to what she wanted.
She didn't want to be fed.
No, she didn't want food. She didn't want medical care.
Because she thought she was fasting and praying.
Right. you could say that, but I'd also say that it's the demons that didn't want her to have anything. They were trying to kill her, and they succeeded.
Because they didn't get her help.
Yeah. They tricked her thinking into that she didn't need any food or anything, and she slowly wasted away. You could look at it from each angle. Like, maybe she was still coherent, but she was trying, knowing she was possessed, but she was trying to counter it with fasting.
Do you think that there was no possession then, is what you're saying? Is that what you say?
No, I think there... I feel conflicted about it, because I think they did, like, she did have epileptic episodes, and it may have... Well, here's the thing, is that what I read and researched is that after they did the autopsy on her brain after she died, they didn't find any normal brain damage associated with epilepsy.
What?
Yeah.
They did an autopsy on her?
Yeah. From the video that I watched, at least. I didn't see that in any articles online, but some videos I watched, they talked about the autopsy, and she didn't exhibit, her brain didn't exhibit those epileptic signs of damage. So that is interesting.
Well, speaking of autopsies, did you know that they exhumed her body, her parents did, many years later after a nun told them that she had had visions that Annalise Michel's body was undecomposed, pretty much, which is it's like a spiritual sign, like stigmata, which she also exhibited, by the way. We'll get to that. But it's like a religious sign where people's bodies don't decay that's associated with saints. And so her parents heard this from this nun, and they literally...
they thought she was a saint.
They literally dug up her body. Because I'm sure that would have given them a lot of closure, too, to be like, oh, well, we went through this really bad thing, but at least our daughter's a saint, you know? But they dug up the body, and she was rotting. Yeah. But that doesn't invalidate the demonic angle.
Doesn't it? Like,
yeah, all it means is that...
What if she was still preserved?
That nun was full of shit, is all that means.
But could, like, saints can be preserved, but what about demons?
Can be preserved?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be preserved. Demons represent rot. They're like, demons are the rot.
Yeah, but I don't know. In my mind, I feel like they could preserve your body if they wanted to.
I think they can't give life. They can only take. Hmm. From my understanding, at least of scriptural.
Well, then they just took from Annalise. Poor Annalise.
Yeah, they just took until she was gone. But I don't know what I believe.
Do you hear that?
It's an alien coming to pick you up. Take you to fucking Mars.
I swear to God, I heard like some woman or girl humming out here.
What? Humming?
Yeah.
It's probably just the wind. Dana's fucking freaking me out, guys. We're recording this in a cabin out in the woods.
Cabin in the woods.
But there's like houses nearby, which is actually creepier probably. Anyways, jury's still out for me on whether this is real. I know that it gives me the heebie-jeebies either way, because like, whether I think that Annalise was suffering from some crazy psychotic stuff or that she actually had demons in her causing her to eat bugs and eat coal and lick up her own urine and stuff like that, whether or not it's those two things, I feel like it's equally terrifying regardless.
It's sad either way, too.
It is, because like
she was a young, bright.
Yeah, she girl. Looked. She looked like
full of life.
Mm-hmm. Like she had a bright future ahead of her.
'76 is when her condition deteriorated drastically. On July 1st, 1976. Annalise Michel died in her home. She was 23. The autopsy report stated the cause of death as malnutrition and dehydration, resulting from almost a year in a state of near starvation while the rites of exorcism were performed. This was categorized as a homicide with four people involved. That was her two parents and the two priests. In the end, I think the priests were charged probation or community service, and the parents were
acquitted.
Yeah. They were relieved of their fines and punishment. But I don't know. They maybe should have been charged too. I don't see any normal parents watching their child become skin and bones. Religious nut jobs or not?
I think all we can really learn from this is that if Dana stank like burnt poo-poo, I'd put him outside in a rainstorm.
Why are you painting this picture again? Me with like shit up my back, like throwing me in the rainstorm to cleanse myself. And you're hosing me down too, like I'm a dog.
Hey, you brought out the fire hose, not me. I did not fire hose.
And then I disappear.
It's a scary thing, possession, because like to lose control of your autonomy and become someone else, a stranger in your own skin.
Yeah, there's 42 audio recordings of the priests performing that.
That's terrifying. Should we play some for the viewers?
If we can, we will.
I don't know what you make of all this, but I just want to say that this whole thing gives me the willies a little bit.
Yeah. There's another failed exorcism that happened in 2005 with a nun. Four nuns chained her to a cross for 3 days without food or water, believing she was possessed.
I'd be pissed.
Which led to her death from suffocation and dehydration. The priest was later sentenced to 14 years in prison for killing her. So,
but she only made it 3 days without food or water?
I think it was mostly from the gag. She suffocated.
They gagged her?
I think so.
Oh, I missed that part. I was like, why did she
suffocation
suffocate?
And dehydration. 23-year-old nun, interesting. Same year as Annalise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
What was her name?
She was a Romanian nun, which makes it creepier. Marissa Irina Cornisi died in 2005. And there was another case, too, I think in 2013 and 2003, with like failed exorcisms where people just ended up killing their family member or friend because they thought they were possessed, and they would do these rituals on them and suffocate them or starve them on accident, trying to get the demons out of them just because they were autistic or something was wrong with them mentally.
Damn, that's really sad.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I think
it's
that's
been
a
real
to end this, whatever this has been.
This is the Annalise Michel exorcism chronicles, including the exorcism of Emily Rose.
You know what else this is? This is Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
I'm your host, Mayan.
I'm your host, Dana.
And it's been our absolute displeasure to take you on this fucking...
I really did not want to talk about this, but Mayan chose it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But
I didn't want to talk about the bunch of people starving to death.
Yeah, it wasn't
in our hometown.
We really need to pick some happier. If you guys have any ideas of some happier sounding stuff that you want to hear
that
about,
doesn't
that's still
sell.
That's still interesting. Nobody but you know, like maybe a man. Maybe an alien cures someone's cancer, or a gnome helps a lost kid get back to civilization, or a unicorn saves young girl from a Joseph Stengel.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm leaving this podcast.
Something.
From a Jangler.
Anyways, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, if you wake up at 3 a.m., watch out.
That was so random. I don't even know what to say.
What? If you wake up at 3 a.m., watch out.
Okay.
Because some demons are going to make you smell like burning shit. Fucking be careful. I care about our listeners. That's why I'm saying
ghostly rapists.
God. Anyways, goodbye.